Does Cody need a break from the show, or does the show need a break from Cody? Because I feel like it's that one.
No. Yeah. Yours faithfully, every non-Chiefs fan. Oh, you nasty.
Oh, I love it, James.
Carl Lewis singing the national anthem, and then he's just so bad. Then he goes, uh-oh. In the middle of it, he says, uh-oh.
I'm going to be so obnoxious.
Oh. Gentlemen! Oh.
It can't be more obnoxious than your
than the video you we have a view of right now.
The Chiefs win back-to-back Super Bowls. Welcome to the Juice Boys Show, boys. Oh my lordy, three brothers-in-law, stupid enough to start a weekly sport podcast, too stupid to stop after 29. Shows drop every Friday. Be sure to follow on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok-y, all the latest updates, fun other sports
all
content.
All the places that
the boys, the show's blowing up like Mecole Hardman's DMs after the Super Bowl catch. Ah,
oh, Mecole, he didn't even know he won. He didn't even know it was over.
Oh, because he blacked out. Oh,
he didn't know the overtime rules. Just like
oh, yes, he did. That was fake news. He said it was fake news. He knew.
Coming from a Chiefs fan.
Imagine if you caught the game when he. Oh my gosh, we have so much to talk about. Welcome.
I guess
I'm held hostage here, listener.
Oh, I'm so bad. Boys, I'm the third turd. We got Juice Boy Joe. We got Mr. Pulp Pelletier. I'm going to be terrible this week. Boys, how are we doing? What are we consuming?
Well, I feel better physically.
Oh, sorry, you were dead last week. Shout out to Lil Juice for...
Lil Juice. Thanks, Lil Juice, for stepping in.
Yeah, listener, we did not expect Joey to have been in last week's episode. We thought that he was dead to the world. Like, we thought he had already called it a night, passed out. And then when we were getting ready to hit the record button, out of nowhere, Joey rises like a phoenix from the ashes of his own funeral pyre.
So, yeah, last week was rough for me. I got sick on Monday. Tuesday, I was texting you guys, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do the show today. I am sick. Wednesday, I went into work, was sent home at around 10:30. They're just like, you're setting a bad example. Like you can't look like this
in front of
the children and just be coughing all over them. And so then I tried to go back in again on Thursday, and my superintendent was like, what are you doing here?
So, go home.
And so then
are you too good for your home?
So once this was a bizarre couple of days after that, I made it home on Thursday and I did not leave the house again until Monday morning for work. So I feel better. I feel rested. I feel I'm getting there, but mentally and emotionally, I'm not okay right now. I'm not okay with this outcome.
Really?
Of this game.
I can't wait to talk about it. Chris, what are you drinking?
Oh, boy. I'm drinking an extra special little treat that I like to call Stranahan's Single Malt American Whiskey. Oh, listener, I am here just to make Cody upset today.
Holy shit.
I went out and bought a bottle of Stranahan's Whiskey just so that I could drink it on the... Oh, I cracked it as I walked into the room to record today, specifically for you, McCoy.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to stop this segment starting next week. Joey?
I'm drinking an old-fashioned. I wish I was. I should have.
You should have.
Damn it. I should have. But I'm just drinking good, old-fashioned, wait, I don't know if there should be another comma in there. Four Roses whiskey. It's good. It's just a good sipper.
Tried and true.
I like Four Roses. It's not great. It's not bad. It's worth the price. It's Four Roses.
It's serviceable.
And once again, I'm going to say for my beer chaser, it's one of the best beers in America. I'd say that every single week. This is not local, unfortunately.
Very consistent with the best beers in America.
But this is going to be where we go when we finally make our trip to Delaware. All right. We are going to go to Dogfish Head and drink this.
Oh, I know that beer.
60-minute IPA. It's fantastic.
Oh.
Delaware's own Dogfish Brewing.
My heart still hurts from... the last few days, my voice still hurts. I'm drinking a hot toddy. I'm going to join the club.
Oh,
it's your turn now.
Yeah,
it's your turn.
I'm
catching shit for Stranahan's. Meanwhile, you're riding our coattails from a week ago.
You got to get some dickle.
Let's get some dickle in your life.
That tickle with that dickle.
Oh, a little dickle? Right. My favorite.
Dickle was good.
Beat this to death a little more.
Yeah.
Where's that horse at? You wouldn't see that horse.
Yeah.
All right, boys, you know the drill. We got a sports docket. I wonder what we're going to talk about. Squeeze of the week. It's just me. I wonder what I'm going to talk about. Got a big topic of the day going into NBA All-Star Weekend. We look back on the division winners and individual player awards to see who looked the stupidest and who looked
All of us.
Before we get into the sports docket, we did a bracket challenge. Hopefully many. We're going to do a big one for March Madness. We did the NFL playoff. And the winners were chosen. They
were they chosen?
They earned their right.
They were earned.
Chris, who earned?
Absolutely. Yeah. So first and foremost, listener, thank you to everybody who participated. We wound up with 41 entries. Of those 41 entries, can we give a shout out to a Mr. Irrelevant? Does that feel like a worthwhile thing to do?
Please. Who's dead last in this?
Let's take a look-see at who came who in dead it? Last. Oh, my God. We've got a tie for last place. B. Ratchman and B. Cher.
I don't know who either of you are, but you're not good at picking. I'm sorry. So congratulations. Yeah,
that is Brennan Ratchman and Brian Cher, two coworkers of mine who...
Oh, they got dead last.
One of them went with the Green Dolphins. Bay Packers.
Yep.
Dolphins. The others, the choking Tuas.
Oh, no, boys.
Not good.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Congrats to our two Misters Irrelevant. We expect to see you in the Super Bowl in 2 years. But in the meantime, the McCoy boys had themselves a solid postseason with the Doctor of Pulp coming in first place, earning those Harbaugh brand khakis in addition to a Juice Boy sticker. Well, everybody gets a Juice Boy sticker. Shoot us a DM if you want a Juice Boy sticker. Third Turd Cody came in second, earning himself a genuine Joey Linehan empty.
That's right.
Yes.
And our old pal, Dr. Frenchie, the Frenchman, came in third place. And so, we'll give you an extra special back rub.
I think me and Dr. Pope, Brandon McCoy, the only ones who picked the Chiefs to win. Let's go. Let's jump into this.
What are you talking about? Dr. Frenchie got it.
He did? I thought there's only two that picked the Chiefs.
Nope, there are four. Way to pay attention, McCoy.
Wow. God. I saw me and Brandon, and I got excited.
Yeah.
Let's just get to it.
Listener, be on the lookout. When March Madness rolls around, we are going to be doing a much bigger push to get everybody enrolled and participating there, and we'll come up with some other bullshit prizes to hand out to people.
Let's do it. All right, guys, should we jump in the sports docket? Joey is about to poop.
Do we have to?
We're gonna talk about the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the Waste Management Open. It's the big party of the PGA. It was huge.
It was a shit show.
It got out of hand.
It was embarrassing.
We're not talking about the golf. We are talking about the fun part of this.
Dude, it was difficult to watch.
It was a little cringy. Here's the final stats, boys. 2024, 653 calls for service during the event.
What?
54 arrests, 211 people were ejected, and 73 people trespassing.
Boys, you were just not getting those numbers at the Masters. I guarantee it.
How does this even happen with grown adults? I mean, you don't even see
at
college games. You don't see this at. I mean, these are numbers that I would expect for the Iron Bowl. You know, people just getting absolutely tanked and then fighting each other.
To give an idea, there was 18 arrests in 2023. There was 54 in 2024. They had to stop selling booze.
Really stepped it up.
People were sneaking in. They had to stop people from coming in. So the big question is this a good look for golf or a bad look for golf?
Oh, definitely a bad look.
Lean into it or lean out of it?
It's a bad look.
So bad. And I don't know that it's a bad look for golf as much as it is for the Phoenix Open. Ultimately it's their responsibility. It's not the PGA didn't choose to make this one giant 4-day frat party. Waste Management did, right?
I mean, it's and I think a lot of this is kind of comes on them, or they've been building this up. Everybody knows that this is the most insane.
They're leaning into the party. Yep.
They're leaning into it, but it's just at the same time, how does it get that out of control? I mean, and also, how do you afford to drink that much in there? Good God. I mean, these people, I've known to drink in the past, all right? I've known to drink. And seeing those.
Understatement of the century.
And seeing those men.
It's pulpy.
Fall and just slide in the, can't walk in the mud and just oh my.
Did you see the one video? The one video that fella looked like he was fresh from Woodstock.
He was slipping, sliding
head to toe in mud, carrying one of his own shoes. Both shoes were not on, but he managed to recover one of them. And like, looked like he was in a personal battle with gravity.
Yeah. Okay, it's just, how does that happen?
I don't know. So, it was.
And players were getting on fans with a few altercations.
Oh, yeah. I was with Billy Horschel on that. He's absolutely right. This is our fucking jobs. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. I think they need to tighten it up. I think 18 arrests is probably serviceable. That's like two a day, three a day.
That's still fine. Absurd. That's still an absurd amount of arrests. You can party with without being arrested.
Just with the total amount of people that are there, like I'm not shocked by that number, like this year's number.
No, that would this
73 people trespassing. Now that's a lack of security just everywhere. Yeah. I mean, just people walking in without tickets. It just wasn't a good look. They're going to write a fine line between being that party tournament that kind of kicks off the PGA for the year and this shit show.
Man, it's a bummer too because it's so fun. It's my favorite tournament because just everybody going ape on every single shot on 16, just trying to hit that hole in one. And this is what, 3 years in a row it hasn't happened?
I mean, it's like an early season major. It was, I think it was 2 years ago when someone hit a hole in one.
Yeah, he was a nobody, and then just
rained down.
That was
beers.
So awesome.
This is beautiful.
That was so awesome.
So we're putting our stamp of bad luck, even though we like to drink. Yeah. We like to, but all right. Should we get to what the people want?
Talking about Sunday Red finally launching?
Should we give them the Super Bowl talk? Discuss the biggest game of the year? The Kansas City Chiefs go back to back for the first time in 20 years when the Patriots did it.
That's right, they did.
Way back when. Usher did a great halftime performance. Chiefs were down 10 yet again, which is what all they do in the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Yep. Especially against the 49ers.
First overtime Super Bowl with the new rules that the Chiefs helped change back in a few years ago.
The Josh Allen rule.
Yep, the 13-second rule. Boys, I got plenty to say. I'll let you guys take the floor first.
It was a great game. I'd say it was a lot like the halftime show where it started off really slow and boring.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. And then it built up to a very, very, very entertaining and awesome end.
Epic.
The last couple drives, there were a lot of things on there that were extraordinarily infuriating. Not saying that Kansas City didn't play a great game. Not saying that they're not worthy champions. But there was just a couple of things in there that I was like, holy crap, what is happening? One was the no call on Nick Bosa, all right, on the last drive of regulation. You had, who's their right tackle? Juwan Taylor. Mm-hmm. Juwan Taylor was literally wrapping up Nick Bosa, throws him to the ground. Then Mahomes gets away. And Mahomes being the freak that he is, just Mr. Twinkle Toes, it's absolutely incredible. I don't know how he freaking does it, but just once again, it comes down to a no call, but that was bad. That was bad. And then,
is it a no call or a call? What do you want? You bitch about the one last year. Like, what do you want here? You want the call? Or do you not want the call?
Bosa. And it was very, very obvious.
The 49ers got a touchdown on an illegal man downfield. What are we talking about here?
Which one? Okay. Which one is more?
The Jennings throw.
Which one is more impactful into the game?
That's 7 points. What are you talking about?
A hold or a legal man down.
One was a touchdown, Joe. What are you talking about?
It was a touchdown. That was a great play. That was a great play.
And he was offside. He was illegally downfield. Continue.
I think Chris Jones was, once again, every single time we talk about the Chiefs, Chris Jones is the deciding factor.
Every time.
He was awesome. He was
no sacks,
awesome.
But he was there. No, he okay. was always there.
No sacks, but he had like four tackles and a couple tackles for loss. I know that because I bet on him to get over 2.5, and he did. He didn't get a sack, but the amount of pressures that he had were incredible. What was incredibly infuriating is what the hell happened on the last third down. Was it third and four for the 49ers in their first drive in overtime? When Purdy threw it away, what happened to their offensive line protection? Chris Jones was not
walked through touched. That.
He was not touched. He just strolls right through. And oh my God, if they chipped him, If they gave Purdy 1 second of time, Jennings was open, and Jennings would have been in there. And Jennings, Juwan Jennings, would have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
I mean,
one of the greatest Super Bowl performances in NFL history. Still, the guy played his ass off, and what an outstanding game. It just came down to a couple of things where I was like, oh my God, it just so happens in the Chiefs' way. And I know that happens when you have a dynasty, and I know that's what happens when you are the best team, but damn, the 49ers were close. Chris.
Oh, Chris.
Boys, I have a hard time being too upset. I think I texted you both. I had the most profitable weekend of gambling in my life this weekend.
Not me. No, I did not.
Oh, I
cleaned up.
I took the books for all they were worth. They might be filing for bankruptcy after I'm done here.
Oh yeah.
But as far as thoughts on the game, I mean, you know, fuck Jake Moody. That's about all I can say.
Oh my God.
I mean,
extra point.
The 47 extra points.
And he kicks it. He kicks the ball at midpoint. Like he kicked that ball like it was a kickoff, not an extra point.
Jay Feely called him out ASAP.
You're trying to put that ball
up
as high as quickly as possible. And instead he kicks it like he is kicking a kickoff. And I do not get it. I don't know how you exist at that level. And meanwhile, you're kicking the midpoint of the ball. He was lucky it didn't wind up doinking off of one of his linemen's helmets.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, it barely cleared. And then all it took was one person with their hand in the air, and it hit him in the elbow. I mean, awful.
The whole time I was watching this game and reviewing it, and it's just pissing me off about this is where the Chiefs are so much of just the little things matter. And it pisses me off because the fact that Kyle Shanahan took the ball first in overtime is absolutely dumbfounding. Right, like, what the hell are you thinking? They did not know the overtime rules. How is that possible? And then on the other side, Andy Reid was practicing overtime scenarios for 2 weeks. They knew that. Did you know that if they they were practicing if they got the ball second, and they were practicing because they said if they were going to do that, they're going to go for two.
Right.
They were going to go for double overtime. So that says the Chiefs were practicing this. They were planning this. They knew the scenario would happen. And the 49ers didn't know the overtime rules changed, and they took the ball first. Why in God's green earth would you ever take the ball first in that situation?
Okay, so I actually read a bit about this, of like the strategery there was that Shanahan was expecting, like, I expect Chiefs touchdown regardless. I want us to have put up a touchdown first because then we've got the ball with the next score wins rules in place.
He like outsmarted himself.
That's exactly. You're just overthinking it. You have to think, oh, who was going to be the last possession? This is why Bill Belichick, even though he was sucking ass the last 4 years, is the greatest coach of all time. Because, and this is things that I've tried to do with coaching high school football, is deferring and always trying to get the ball to score last in the first half, get the ball on the kick in the second half, and then have the ball in your hands in the last drive of the game.
Chiefs
and
it's always just like defer.
That's always how you do it. And you have to be thinking, who's going to have the ball on the last play? And if the last play is not you ending with it, then there's something wrong with your strategy there.
Strategy.
You can't think, I know they're going to score. We got to get out there. No, you stop them, and then you get the ball, and then a field goal wins. Yeah. I mean,
you give Patrick Mahomes four downs instead of three. You give him four downs. Oh,
and I'm also pissed off. Why the fuck did they kick the field goal in overtime? You're down on the 8 yard line. Go for the touchdown. And if you don't get it, maybe even if you complete it and it's down there, they have the ball in the four. Okay, you have the ball in the four instead of kicking a field goal. And then kicking the ball off to them, and then they get the ball to 25 with exactly the same opportunities to win. It's just so dumb. That whole overtime just pissed me off. Kyle Shanahan just continually shoots himself in the foot every opportunity he has to prove himself as a clutch game manager and play caller. And damn it, the Chiefs don't make those freaking mistakes the same way the Patriots didn't make those mistakes. And we're seeing a dynasty, and I'm angry.
I've been smiling the whole time. I have too many angles to go on this. I'm going to tell you what happened. I went upstairs to clock out. When did I do it, you ask?
Did you get in the shower again?
No. We kicked a field goal to tie the game. We left them way too much time on the clock for that. Like, why would they not burn all the time in the world to kick a game-winning field goal? I start going upstairs. I remove the jersey. You start packing up the food. Because my heart hurts so bad that
you lack intestinal fortitude.
You lack the intestinal fortitude to be.
So Brandon McCoy does the same. We both go upstairs. We both start emotionally clocking up, but the TV's on. Brandon goes back downstairs, and I watch the entire rest of the fourth quarter alone on the couch in the family room, away from everyone else, because it's on. I'm like, I need to be mature here. I need to just watch the end of this before I can go home.
Taking off your jersey, and that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put the sweater on, was ready to go, got the shoes on, and then we came back on the game. So that was one thing.
You are. How many times do I have to? Don't
my
stop
heart
watching.
Hurts. My
don't
heart stop hurts.
Watching. You are not built for this, McCoy.
It was
You're
unhealthy.
Not built for it.
No, I'm not. No Chiefs fan are built for this.
What are you talking about? You this is your third one in 5 years. You should be built for it.
This was the best one. Oh boy, what else happened? Steve Spagnuolo, is he going to be the first coordinator to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? The dude has 4 rings. The dude beat the New England undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl. This guy is he's cleaning up.
That was David Tyree.
Yeah, it was. Well, Spags has coached against the top, I think, 4 offenses this postseason. That combined, they averaged 29 points a game. He held them to 12. That's what that dude's doing. Get this guy in the Hall of Fame. What else we got going on? Butker had a historic season. 95% from all season long. He only missed 2 kicks. Those 2 kicks were when the fucking New England Patriots deflated the balls in New England. That's the only 2 kicks he missed all year.
And who won that game?
The Chiefs.
So what are you talking about?
He would have had a perfect season if they didn't deflate the balls. He also had the longest kick in Super Bowl history, 57, and it was a bad snap. Butker is him. MVS.
Is Creed Humphrey their long snapper too?
No, that's
Humphrey had a lot of really low snaps in that game.
He did, and he did in the Super Bowl previously too. Yeah. Just a lot of low at the feet. So everyone's like, are they going to go get Jason Kelce? Nah, Creed's the dude. He's got to figure it out.
But Creed Humphrey also took Fred Warner out of the yard, dude. He drove. Oh my God, he embarrassed the best.
Oh man, first half was nothing much to mention there. The drive, the 4th and 1, the balls to give Mahomes 3 different options to run it. Himself to give it to Kelce. My heart, I almost had an actual heart attack. I had to call almost 911. I was texting people that my heart really hurt and I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, but 4th and 1 that, to and lose I was like, the game. Fuck up, McCoy.
Dude. Oh. What was the other one I was going to? Andy Reid and Matt Nagy exposed Nick Bosa as well. Nick Bosa played a hell of a game.
By holding the shit out of him?
No, on 3 of the biggest plays of the game, the 4th and 1, Pat's biggest run. No, you didn't even watch the game if that's what you're saying. What? On the 4th and 1? What are you talking about?
Okay, well, I was talking about his scramble, bro.
No, there
was the scramble.
No, there was a scramble Mahomes had where it was a RPO to it was a running option where give it to McKinnon or run. Bosa overextended, went for the running back, and let Mahomes go get a 25-yard run. Same thing on the 4th and 1. They gave it to I think McKinnon again. Bosa shot that gap. Wide open for Mahomes to get the 4th and 1. On the game-winning play in the red zone, the same exact concept. Nick Bosa shot the gap again, didn't left Mahomes wide open to go find McColl. Joey Bosa is the reason they lost that game.
Nick.
What'd I say? Oh, he's got a big schnoz. Nick Bosa. Yeah. Yeah. Joey Bosa's on the couch. Oh, greatest Super Bowl ever. My voice was gone. My heart hurt. My heart still hurts. Took the day off of work.
Wow.
I am amazing.
You are amazing.
You're amazing.
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Back to back, baby. We're going for a three-peat. Travis Kelce, almost 100 yards after 1 yard in the first half. Patrick Mahomes, MVP. He's the youngest player in sports history to have 3 championship MVPs.
I know.
Any sport.
We'll see how this all... Okay, you're riding high now, but we'll see how they work when this team that they have right now falls apart. And we'll see
if funny you say that, because last year was supposed to be the rebuilding year.
I'm talking about what Kelce's done.
No. Last year was supposed to be the down year without Tyreek. This year was supposed to be the rebuilding year. We got 2 rings.
We'll see when Chris Jones is gone. We'll see when Kelce's gone. We'll see if they can still keep it going. That's what's going to prove Mahomes' real talent, because there's no way that he's going to get 7 with this core. We'll see.
Also, Brady got 3 as a as a quarterback on the team. He wasn't the guy like Pat Mahomes is.
Well, you got two Super Bowl MVPs in those three? That's weird.
Fine. But that's Mahomes weird. Was the best player in the league every year he's played.
Yeah. Championships. Yeah. Championships matter.
I feel like
let's talk about your boy. Let's talk about your boy Kelce here for a second. Yeah, he was absolutely non-existent and had an unbelievable hissy fit on the sideline. The whole time, big hissy fit. It was so funny because that was what was completely dominating social media. Like that entire game was just that clip of him getting all up in Andy Reid's face. And the whole time I was just thinking at the end when they're showing him and Tay-Tay, and I was like, Travis Kelce has no idea that that was just getting blown up for 4 hours.
Oh, he had to have been aware, right?
And that every single
How would he have been aware?
It's the story. There's cameras on everybody.
Is he Shedeur Sanders checking his phone at halftime?
You better hope he wasn't. You think God.
He still got a ring. Ring out of it.
I was thinking every Swiftie and the planet's eyes are on that situation and seeing how she reacted. And now everyone's like, oh, he's violent. This is going to, they're like, she needs to get out. He's dangerous.
Wait, so are we going to talk about the Swiftie stuff after I talk about it? You guys don't want to talk about it? We want to talk about that, though?
That was a bad look.
I don't think so. The man's passionate. The man wants the ball. We bitch about me talking about Taylor Swift all season, and then you're going to be your final argument is Taylor Swift? That's what you're going to do?
Final argument.
In fairness, we only bitched about that most of the season.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Brock Purdy played well. We should give Brock Purdy. He did play well. No turnovers.
Brock Purdy cost me so much damn money by kneeling it in the last play of regulation.
Oh, that was a
oh my God, I had him on a parlay for over 12 and a half yards, and he was at 13 and kneeled it and ended with 12, and I lost 4 bets because of that. And I was like, oh my God.
You had 4 on that.
Oh God, that was a shot in my heart. Purdy, unfortunately, that might be the death of my fandom for Brock Purdy.
He did play well, though.
Not a chance.
He just not... Jesus Christ, that quarterback. I don't know what else to... He played well. No turnovers.
My favorite soundbite from the Super Bowl was from the Nickelodeon telecast on Christian McCaffrey's fumble. Anybody who's a SpongeBob fan knows Patrick would firmly grasp it in your hand. Firmly grasp it! And when Christian McCaffrey fumbled, Patrick Starr, who was the analyst, goes... You have to firmly grasp it. And it was absolutely hysterical. So that was my favorite soundbite of Super Bowl.
Beautiful.
Also, we need to call out George Kittle for being Gollum. In 2 Super Bowls, he has 6 catches for 40 yards and 0 touchdowns. But I'm sure his run blocking was fucking great, guys. It was so good.
It really was. I was watching him a lot. He was.
Kelce is him. Kittle is not. We can just stop that conversation forever, please. Also, the most watched television show in the history of sports of TV.
Yeah. America. 4 billion people watched the World Cup, 133 million watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, in America. Yeah. It was almost 200 million total with streaming and stuff like that. It was 120 on a single network. The only thing bigger was the moon landing, but the moon landing was being played on every single station at that point. So CBS gets the record for most televised event on a station. What a great day, guys.
Love the moon landing.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And I guess we can end it with Patrick Mahomes is outpacing Tom Brady through age 28. All right. Anything else?
4 more, baby. It's not even halfway.
We'll wait till my squeeze.
Oh my God.
We got to do more of this?
I'm sorry in advance, listener. This is going to be difficult to listen to.
That'll do it, boys. This is more stock and music, man. See you on the other side.
Play the sad trombone.
All right, boys. Squeeze of the week, our most outlandish takes. I got some thoughts, but we have a listener submitted one from James. Here we go. Dear Juice Boys, I think we can all agree that after a lot of work, hard work of late, Cody needs a break from the show this week. Please. Ouch.
Does Cody need a break from the show, or does the show need a break from Cody? Because I feel like it's that one.
No, yeah. Yours faithfully, every non-Chiefs fan. Oh, you nasty.
Oh, I love it, James. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Happy birthday, James.
P.S. Best Super Bowl. My first time going out and staying up till 5 a.m. in the U.K. Watched the Patriots versus Falcons. We thought it was over at halftime. Then what comeback.
That's the best Super Bowl ever.
I don't think so. A fight broke out with the Falcon fans at the end. PPS, Mr. Super Bowl MVP Foles trick play TD reception was in a bar. Reminded me growing up, everyone hated Man United because they always won. This bar was Patriot fans and everyone else. People not necessarily cheering for the Eagles, but just cheering against the Patriots. I relate to that. PPS. You did best Super Bowl moments and halftime shows. What about the worst moments? I remember being disappointed with the Black Eyed Peas. Like, I guess your whole career was auto-tuned.
I might have something to say about one of the Black Eyed Peas later.
Oh, dude, man.
What?
I remember my wife was studying abroad in Italy during that time, and everybody was watching the Super Bowl, and everybody in Italy was like, oh, that was a great halftime show. Then we talked the next day, and like, what did we think of Black Eyed Peas? And everybody was like, that was awful.
That was not good.
It was so bad.
They're just not good.
No.
Yeah. And then he sent a meme of Taylor Swift makes her way down from the VIP box to the field, and it's her private jet on thousands of people.
Just damn running it, people over.
James, I love killing it.
I love it. Just
obviously, I disagree with this take that I need to break from the show. This is the moment you start a sports podcast for.
I agree with that both of those games were better games than what we just saw. Yes, it went to overtime, but the first half was awful. It was awful.
So was the first half of the Falcons Patriots.
If you're a Falcons fan, that was a great time.
That was your favorite half of football ever.
Yeah, and then coming back for 25 points in 18 minutes, Cody, come on, dude.
Yeah, but that being the team choked. This was actually a well-played game between two teams, went down to the wire, could have been the 49ers with the ball to get it.
I think the Patriots-Eagles, the Nick Foles, that was a great game too, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but that play was an illegal play.
The Giants-Patriots
Foles was moving forward, which you can't go forward in motion. That Philly special was an illegal play.
Thanks, James, for sending that in, I guess.
Yeah, thank you, James.
We love it, James. Two-thirds of us love it, and I feel like the listeners love it.
Well, my turn.
Oh, my God. All right, let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Do you guys want to know what was said on the Michael Jordan statue?
Sure.
Suck
the best
my balls,
there
Cody.
Ever was. The best there ever was, the best there ever will be.
Oh, I was close.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know when that statue was placed?
Sure, McCoy.
November 1st, 1994.
Why are you asking it? You just want to tell us. You just
he retired after the first batch, and that was said. My squeeze is Patrick Mahomes is Michael Jordan.
Disgusting.
He's the best there is. He's the best we will ever see. I think Joey has even admitted that. Yes, Tom Brady has the resume. He has the career. He has the rings. Similar to how we talk about Aaron Rodgers is the best thrower of the football that we've ever seen.
No, Patrick Mahomes is better.
Well, okay. I'll take that. But Patrick Mahomes is the best we will ever see. He is first ballot. He is on the Mount Rushmore already. He's 28. He's top three already with Montana, Mahomes, Brady. Obviously, there's no one else even close in his draft class and live in the league. He's doing things we've never seen before. He's breaking records everywhere. Did I mention he's 28? He's my age. I'm a moron with a sports podcast.
Wow.
He's doing this. Age. I mean, I don't.
Wow.
I can't fathom he's on my team.
I can't.
He had the biggest cap hit of any player in NFL history to win the Super Bowl. He had a team that led the league in drops. His tackles had the most holding calls. Last year was the year. This was the rebuild year. He won two rings. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's down 10. He wins 83% of the games. He's down by 10.
You know who started 3-0 in their first three Super Bowls? Tom Brady. So I mean, you know who went their 6-0 in their first six? Michael Jordan. Mahomes lost one.
Nice.
Two. To who?
Tom Brady.
To Tom Brady.
To Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So there's my argument right there.
That's fine. That's not the greatest thing I've ever seen. Tom Brady Mahomes has done things you have never seen, Joe, and you've told me that.
Mahomes had a chance to beat Brady.
Yeah.
And twice. And he lost both of those times to an aged Tom Brady.
That's fine.
Not to 2007 Brady. Not to his best that he ever had.
That's fine.
That was to 40 at that point, 43-year-old Tom Brady. Okay. So
he's the GOAT in waiting.
He also lost to Joe Burrow. When Joe Burrow was healthy, that is the best rivalry in football. And I agree that the start of his career is the best that we've ever seen. It is. It is the best I've ever seen. And
that's all
we
can judge him on. We can't judge him on the rest of the career.
And I have said to you that I think that he is the best player that I've ever seen play the game. However, Tom Brady is the greatest player because of what Brady was able to do over a sustained period. And because of that, you can't put Mahomes at the Jordan level because Brady is the greatest football player of all time. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time. Right now, Mahomes is LeBron. He's close. He's right there.
A lot of people think LeBron's
until he catches, until LeBron catches Jordan with 6 rings, and until Mahomes catches Brady with 7.
I don't know when it turned into ring chasing. That's false. That's a lie. Jordan had 3 rings when this statue was created.
Exactly.
And he was the greatest there ever was.
And then he got even better with 3 more.
That's fine. Magic had 5 already. Bill Russell always has 11. But Michael Jordan's the best we've ever seen. Mike Greenberg said it. It was one of my favorite. The first 3 rings, Jordan was the greatest player the world has ever seen. The last 3 was he was the best player in the league. We are in that part of the Mahomes. But he's the best player we have ever seen. Case closed. Brady is the GOAT. I'm not even disagreeing with that at all. Brady is the GOAT, but he has the resume. We can't judge
that fully. Who erected that statue? Who made that statue?
Not Michael Jordan, if that's what you're asking.
No, but was it the Chicago Bulls or was it the NBA? Because are we gonna act shocked that the Bulls weren't erecting statues to Magic?
It was very well known at the time that he was the greatest player to ever live with 3 rings.
Are we surprised that they didn't erect a statue that it was for Bill Russell? Like who else were the Bulls potentially going to call the greatest that there ever was, the greatest that there ever will be? Like you're
Kareem.
The Bulls are going to do that? Bulls are going to make 60, a statue for Kareem? No, they're not. They're going to do it for their guy. And so the fact that you're trying to utilize Michael Jordan's statue as some sort of end-all be-all of everybody's truth at the time that it was erected rather than the Chicago Bulls truth when it was erected is the exact same as you as a Chiefs homer trying to make this argument form fit to Patrick Mahomes.
Also,
I think it's bullshit.
Jim Tomey is a really cool statue in Cleveland. I've seen it.
I'm sure it doesn't say the greatest best there ever was.
The greatest there ever will be. Jim Tomey. After who was it? Art
Jim Tomey had 600 home runs. Schlechtler, whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah. Who recently,
Lichtenstein,
friend of the show, recently found himself back in hot water with the law.
With a crack pipe in the car. Yeah, go look
in the car.
Oops. That was our big potato on. Yeah.
God, that was, I think that was like a month ago.
All right, so you guys disagree. Actually, Joey kind of agreed, but also the fact ring chasing was not a thing until Jordan got like 6 or something.
I know, but it has to be for Mahomes. It has to be.
Why? There's 11 guys
that was
on the
always
field.
The same thing. Set. It was always the same thing for Brady when he was coming up. When he had 3, everybody said, "You're not Montana. You're not Montana."
He had to win 7 to get to Montana.
When he was at 4, he passed Montana because he beat him in the regular season statistics at that point, and he beat him in the regular season MVPs at that point. He already passed when he beat the Seahawks. He passed Montana, and then everything after that was just he is the best ever, right? And so Mahomes needs to get to 7.
I disagree. Does LeBron need to get to 6?
Yes.
Everyone thinks LeBron's the GOAT, and he's not at 6.
No, they don't. All the kids think he's the GOAT. Anybody who knows basketball does not think he's the GOAT.
Listener, this is definitively, you heard it here first, Cody McCoy declaring his vision of LeBron James as the greatest basketball player of all time.
People
said everybody said it. Said everybody said it.
Everybody knows LeBron is the GOAT.
No, everyone thinks that he's the GOAT.
No.
Yeah, and you're part of everybody,
right? Real basketball fans do not. Young Gen Xers or whatever the hell they are now, Gen Zs. What generation are we on?
Gen Alpha.
The kids. The kids with the phones. The youths think that LeBron is the best because that's what they currently have in front of them. Just like you with Mahomes.
Tom Brady didn't do what Mahomes did in the first 3 rounds.
He didn't have to.
No, he didn't because he was not the...
So then he did it later in his career, which is even more impressive.
That's fine. So now Mahomes gets to win 3 and now he gets to go into his prime. Let's go.
Right. So did Brady. Brady didn't hit his prime until he was like 36. Come on, brother. You got
Mahomes
some
better
time
in the clutch,
to go.
I guess,
God, I'm really hoping for the same for me.
Yeah, maybe Russell Wilson.
Fingers crossed here, boys.
All right, boys. Joey, if people want to submit their squeezes of the week, how do they do so?
Listeners, you can try the top James squeeze. Please do. That was outstanding.
Beautiful.
Submitting your most outlandish sports take by emailing us at juiceboysshow@gmail.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram at juiceboysshow. But it has that pulp, thick, viscous, stringy pulp.
Oh, let's get more adjectives up in here.
Then we will read it on the show.
Chris!
You're getting closer, but you're not quite back
almost,
yet, huh?
Almost there.
Oh, buddy.
Sponsoring today's show.
Today's episode of the Juice Boys Show is brought to you by the Basic Bro Bachelor Party Starter Pack. That's right, fellas. No more mumbling and fumbling with pesky decision-making before your best bro's wedding. Now with the Basic Bro Bachelor Party Starter Pack, you can cherry-pick your Basic Bro experience with one of our wonderful pre-selected bachelor party getaways. You'll start by choosing between one of three destinations. You can go classic with a trip to Vegas.
I would say no. I did that.
Hammered with a chance of snowfall out in Miami. Okay. Or hipster cowboy rustic with a visit down to Nashville. But the lack of any decision making doesn't end there. That's because each Basic Bro Bachelor Party Starter Pack option includes a 30 rack of Busch Light for each attendee, in addition to matching Hawaiian shirts with the honored bachelor's face on them.
Sign me up.
Also, each attendee will be given $100 in Kohl's cash for that fresh, new, reasonably priced button-up fit for the group outing to the fancy steakhouse you'll all inevitably be asked to leave for making the waitstaff uncomfortable. That's right, fellas. No more unending text threads trying to plan while everyone just dicks around sending Will Ferrell gifts anyway. Right. Because the Basic Bro Bachelor Party Starter Pack has it all covered for you. The Basic Bro Bachelor Party Starter Pack. Because you can barely be trusted to remember to breathe. So leave the vacation planning to us.
Great. Yes, please do. And
it's so needed.
I'm and so young listeners. Company. Young listeners, I know you all think that a bachelor party in Vegas would be awesome.
It's awful.
It's not awesome. I had mine there, and I had 26 dudes for 3 days in Vegas. First of all, way too long. And second of all, way too many dudes. Two got arrested.
Too many dudes.
Brother got his wallet stolen. One went to the hospital. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Maybe something else. But I'm not saying it wasn't fun, but it was...
It was a doozy.
It was a doozy.
Jeez. All right, guys, moving into the big potato. Now that we're moving on from football and the back-to-back Super Bowl chase by the Chiefs, it's NBA All-Star Weekend. That means that's the dunk right, contest, baby. Three-point shootout, the skills challenge, the obviously the All-Star game, full effect this weekend. We're going to go with favorite or best NBA All-Star Weekend moments.
Like, you know, I've got a two of mine that I think are just – outstanding.
Good. You get one right now.
I'm going to start with one.
Okay.
And I'm going to say I think it was the greatest story that's ever been told in basketball, and that was the return of Magic Johnson to the All-Star game in 1992.
Yes.
Now, when you were saying that Michael Jordan, when they put that on his statue, that's something. Yeah, he was the best that they've seen, but it's really hard to say when Magic Johnson was just had to abruptly end his playing career in 1991 after winning five championships. And it wasn't because he wasn't good anymore. Magic was phenomenal. He got the HIV. And that was a horrible, unfortunate diagnosis and shocked the world. And anybody who watched The Last Dance, if you are like me, you developed an unbelievable hatred for Isaiah Thomas. The way that he treated Magic Johnson after he had his HIV diagnosis is why he didn't make the Dream Team and made this return to the All-Star game even more phenomenal. So Magic had to abruptly retire, right? Didn't play at all the 92-93 season. The fans loved him still, and he was a national icon and really brought attention onto the AIDS epidemic. They voted him in number one on the votes on a write-in in 1992. So even though he wasn't even playing in the league at this time, he was the number one highest vote getter, and he came back to play in the All-Star game in 1982 in a brand new arena in Orlando and a brand new franchise of the Orlando Magic. So that was pretty freaking awesome. He comes in, he's the captain. He plays damn near the entire game because he's never going to get a chance to play again anyway. He won MVP of the game. The West beat the East 153-113. But the best part about this, the best part about this was that every time Isaiah was on the court, because he's on the East, Magic D'd him up. Every single time that he was out there, Magic was on Isaiah. And then every time Jordan was out there, Magic was on Jordan because he was saying, this is the only other time we're ever going to have a chance to do this. Now, 2 years later, Magic came back and he was the coach of the Lakers. And then he decided he wanted to play again, but he ended up playing like 30 games that season as power forward, not as point guard, and realized he doesn't have it anymore. And he shut it down. But that was probably the best moment in All-Star game history, bringing Magic Johnson back. Them seeing him do that and the level that he played was why it gave them confidence that he could play on the Dream Team that summer.
Yeah.
So it just monumental, history changing, incredible, and just to rub it in Isaiah's face. And then Isaiah didn't get picked for the Dream Team.
God, now all of a sudden my pick just feels like it pales in comparison. But I wanted to talk about the 2018 NBA All-Star game. You guys remember what happened at the 2018 NBA All-Star game?
Not particularly by the year.
No, I don't.
So I promised a reference to the Black Eyed Peas, and I'd sure love to talk about Fergie Ferg's national anthem leading into the 2018 All-Star game. So Fergalicious herself makes her living as a singer. It not just makes her living, is a world-renowned all-star in music who cannot sing. dear listener, if you've never seen this particular rendition, if you've never heard this particular rendition, don't just go listen to it. Go watch a video. She is so off key that when they show the All-Stars standing there waiting to go warm up, waiting to go start the game, Draymond Green is laughing his ass off, and everybody else is giving 100% of their willpower not to join him. It was so bad that Fergie had to come out the next day with a statement apologizing for her atrocious singing to lead into the 2018 All-Star game. So
she didn't sound much better at the Super
Bowl. She is not good at singing. I don't know what there is to apologize for other than just admit, like, hey, yeah, auto-tune does all of the heavy listing.
Does all work.
The Black Eyed Peas. Anytime I'm the one with the microphone in my hand, because I am not good at my job.
That was up there with Carl Lewis singing the national anthem, and then he's just so bad. And he goes, uh-oh. In the middle of it, he says, uh-oh.
I forgot about that. Uh-oh. All right, guys, I'm going to go with some personal ones that are very impactful to my life. Just as a kid who loved basketball, I'm going to go to the 2008 slam dunk contest featuring D. White Howard. The man, I think, got 50s on all of his dunks.
Yeah. Wearing Superman?
This was the Superman dunk that Charles Barkley still to this day makes me laugh. Because right before he Dwight jumps, Chuck goes, oh, my God. And I got it for us right here to get the audio. Okay.
Yes. It's so good.
The whole buildup as he pulls out the cape, as all the whole arena starts freaking out because they see what's about to go down. And then he throws the ball in the rim. He doesn't even dunk it.
Oh, he was far away. Kind of yeah.
Oh, Superman's in the cape. Building. Yeah, Superman cape.
Superman is in the building.
Oh, Kevin Harlan, too, yes. Right?
God, what a monster. Oh, my God. Dwight Howard's shoulders are freakish.
Yes, he is. Clark Kent is winning the phone booth, and he comes out, and Superman has came to the building.
He does look like Superman.
He got a body like Superman for real.
He does.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And then when the crowd sees the replay, this is the best part of TNT, when they show the replay, people
Oh, Lord.
That is incredible. Are you kidding me? Do you see this? He didn't just dunk it. He threw it through. He threw the ball through.
He wasn't even close.
Yeah, not even nearby. That's a layup.
Just everyone continues to go, oh my god.
Just
one of my all-time favorites. And then he has another one where he double taps off the glass that I think is a harder dunk, but this Superman one is just iconic as a middle school basketball player. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Great call.
My number two came in 1988 with my favorite basketball player, Larry Bird, baby.
Oh, didn't see this coming.
You didn't see this coming? Well, here it is. Let me obviously paint you the picture. So my boy Larry in 1988 was coming off of two consecutive three-point dunk contests. That would be incredible. So he's coming off of two, or as Cody likes to say repeatedly in this episode, back-to-back three-point shootout wins. But he did something that the Chiefs are not going to be able to do, and he busted out a three-peat. And what was the most epic about this is that it was in Chicago in the year that Jordan and Dominique went off in their dunk contest. And right before this, Larry knew that he wasn't going to be the big deal. He comes in just smooth, just cocky as all hell, trash-talking Larry Bird, walks into the locker room, still wearing his warm-ups, and famously says, "All right, so who's coming in second?" All right, so he says,
"I love the arrogance.
All the best shooters." Because he is the last, because he won two in a row, he was the last shooter to go out there, doesn't take off his warm-up jacket. And these old Celtics warm-up jackets, they were made in the 60s, and I don't think they ever changed them, so they're probably wool. All right, and they're made of
asbestos, actually.
Yeah. And they don't breathe. All right, so he goes out there and just starts sinking and sinking, and then he gets to the last racket, makes five in a row, and walks off the court with his fingers still in the air, and just leaves. And this the epic
legendary,
epic Larry legend,
Larry legend, boys,
third consecutive sharpshooter triumph, but by far his coolest.
Oh, beat that, Chris.
God, that's spectacular. I will beat that, okay? Because we're going all the way back to 2005. Chris Birdman Anderson had let everybody know to watch out.
The bird's going to fly.
The Birdman was going to fly, boys. And fly he did over and over and over again, as it took him 9 tries to land his very first dunk, in addition to another 6 tries to land his second.
They changed the rules because of this.
It was so atrocious that the NBA had to circle back around and go, "We need to put a fucking stopwatch in somebody's hand here, because we can't do more attempts of this." Yeah, so from here on out, NBA literally instituted a rule after how miserable it was to watch Birdman try and dunk twice.
That was in Denver, wasn't it?
I believe
I can't remember. Was it? I mean, that's probably why he was in it. Yeah, but
no, he didn't play for the Nuggets yet. But that was pre-tatted up, or maybe like he only had 100 tattoos instead of 1,000.
No, there's a picture here. He is not tatted up compared to who he would.
Was he on the Hornets or on the Nuggets?
New Orleans.
I thought so.
He's my most hated NBA player of all time. Is that man?
Why?
Would you like to tell him more about that?
He's the worst NBA player to ever live. He's terrible. He's not good. He had no skill.
What are you talking about? He was a great rebounder, great blocker. He was a good defender. He was hustle. He was a big part of the Miami Heat championship runs with LeBron. Tim Duncan took him to school for five years. Tim Duncan's the greatest power forward of all time. Of course.
All you do is raise an eyebrow, and Chris Anderson's he's trying to swat everything because he was terrible. All right, I'll wrap us up with the 2016 dunk contest.
Tell us about it.
Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon.
Oh, my favorite dunk contest of all time.
Is that Toronto? Oh, these guys beautiful. Went back to back to back 50s. They tied at the end where they had to do additional dunks that wasn't in the rule book. They just agreed that we need something to break this. Zach LaVine was doing dunks from the free throw line through the legs.
Yep.
360s from the free throw line.
Yes.
Aaron Gordon was doing through his legs. He was doing mailman 360s with over a mascot, the mascot rotating on
on a hoverboard, right?
On a hoverboard. Yeah. These guys were going back and forth. It was epic. I was screaming at my TV. Someone had to win. Ultimately, I think Zach LaVine won.
But it was trash because Gordon was better. Gordon was better. His dunks were, and when he busted out that one between underneath his legs over the mascot,
that
and he didn't win, and he didn't win. I was like, you gotta be kidding me! But a between the legs from the free throw line is absolutely absurd.
And there was a windmill or a windmill free throw. I just want to show this. I can cut.
Here we go. Oh,
dear Lord, it's so awesome!
Like, look at this shit, dude.
Alfred Payton in that mascot. Oh!
That is absurd.
That
go on, man.
Time to go home.
Wait,
oh, my God.
Let's go home. Look at how high up. Look at his
eyes. Oh, my God.
Kevin Hart is like, oh, my God. I can't.
Unbelievable.
Just, my family was screaming just back to back to back to back 50s. They didn't know how to end it. A very memorable moment in my life. They just had to keep going.
It was absolutely epic. And what? It's so unfortunate what has become of the NBA All-Star Weekend with these contests.
It's a joke.
Why? Okay, this is another thing that puts LeBron underneath Jordan. LeBron never did this. No. He could have, and he would have won, but he never did it. He never put his nuts on the table to go out there and lose. Michael Jordan lost to Dominique, and that's why he came back the next year for revenge, and that's when he pulled off the iconic Air Jordan logo from the free throw line because he knew that he needed to be the best.
They're all scared now.
All right, friends. Remember, you can continue to listen to the show on all major podcast networks.
Keep going, please.
Google, Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please consider following and rating the show and leave us a review. I like reading the reviews if you listen through Apple. We encourage you to follow and subscribe. Just push that little subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Also, be a friend. Tell a friend about the podcast and follow us on Instagram at Juice Boys Show. Cody.
Oh, that was a very safe play. Very safe play.
Safe. That just about wraps it up for us. We're going to switch it up just a little bit. But Chris, who is sponsoring today's past stupidity of NFL picks slash our Genesis Invitational winner pick?
What was that? What was that play in again? The sponsor of today's past stupidity of previous picks and Genesis Invitational winner.
Yes.
No, you got it right. One. It's a long title today.
Is brought to you by a very special new advertiser, the Coach Linehan Flyover Camp.
Yes!
Coming in June.
Yes, it's that time of year, dear listener, where the country's brightest high school football stars are beginning to accept invitations to prestigious football camps like the Manning Passing Academy and the Kadarius Toney Football Basics Camp. But you're not one of those bright, shining stars. Hell, you'll be lucky to earn a spot as the third string cashier at your own family's hardware store, and you are the perfect fit for the Coach Linehan Flyover Camp. While your peers are learning useless things like football IQ and sportsmanship, you'll be learning the finer points of punching taints and ripping chodes.
Classic.
And the lucky few who pass the test will earn the highest honor of all. Coach Linehan will teach a select few players how and when to properly teabag their opponents with their disgusting unwashed jock straps.
Without getting caught.
That's the key.
You could get the chance for Coach Linehan to personally teach you the technique to the perfect flyover. Yes, this dream can come true for you, dear listener, this June at the Coach Linehan Flyover Camp. The Coach Linehan Flyover Camp. Because the only thing Coach Linehan loves more than Tom Brady is teaching children how to disrespect their opponents.
All in the name of competition. You can't fly over someone unless you beat them physically.
Don't give it all away.
They have to pay to get to the camp.
Oh, my God.
That's an ad.
It's like you don't want the money.
The flyover.
Listener, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, listener. We're going to tighten this shit up, okay? We'll revisit this in post.
All right, boys. You guys remember before the season started, us three morons got together, made our picks for the divisions and individual player awards. We thought we'd take a little look-see to wrap up the show here to see who was stupid, who was not as stupid. Let's take a look here. AFC West, Juice Boy Joe and Juice Boy McCoy, correct with the Chiefs. Chris sucks a bag of dicks with the Chargers. That did not go well.
No,
AFC North. Ravens by Joe. Bengals. Oh, Joe wins again.
Oh, yes, sir.
Joe 2-0. AFC East. Bills, Jets, Dolphins. Oh, the Bills snuck it on the
Bills,
last
baby. 3-0.
Very last week. Yeah. Wow, way to go, Joe.
That's right.
Chris not doing so hot. Well, AFC South. That. The Jags did win.
They did not do it. They did not.
Oh, Houston.
Do it.
Oh, we all lost.
Houston.
That was,
yeah, we all lost. That's okay. When we that all was another, the same thing, it, who gives a shit then?
That was all the last week, too, right? Houston swapped it up. Yep. NFC West, San Fran. Chris again goes with the Seahawks.
No, Chris, no.
That's fine. Boys, if we're all going to make the exact same picks, then what are we even doing?
I don't want to hear it.
If nobody's going to make a different pick, what are we doing? We're all just three dudes recording ourselves agreeing with one another.
It's true.
The latest
NFC
podcast.
NFC North, Lions, Vikings. Chris again is losing.
No.
Oh,
I think I'm
Chris
the only one
over.
Here with balls.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
I think taking the Lions was a pretty ballsy pick, but you know.
NFC East, the Cowboys snuck it in.
They
oh my
did.
Gosh,
those
we all
stupid
lost.
Idiots. We all took the Eagles.
NFC South, who the hell won that division?
The Buccaneers, baby. Baker won it.
No one wins it. Oh my gosh. Let's see. MVP, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Pat Mahomes. No one wins it with Lamar. Comeback player of the year, Russell Wilson, DeMar Hamlin, Tua. DeMar did not win.
I will point out that Joey was waffling back and forth on MVP between Joe Burrow and...
I don't give a shit what he was
Lamar Jackson, remember? Yeah,
he was actually waffling back and forth back when I was in the
tape
room.
He doesn't get two picks like he does in everything else.
I remember specifically listening to that being like, ah, shit, Joe, you had a coin toss and you got it wrong, buddy.
Yep.
DeMar Hamlin, Chris took the field. Oh, the field versus DeMar Hamlin. DeMar Hamlin almost died.
How
you know, who
still
he
wasn't good enough?
Not
still wasn't
win
enough.
That
but
award.
Joe
he
Flacco
almost died on the field.
Can you imagine being Joe Flacco being like, well, son of a bitch, like, I didn't prepare a speech here. Like, what
are you
doing?
Serious?
To me.
Joe
I
Flacco
came in here for throwing three picks a game and I win this?
Came off the couch and stole the award from DeMar Hamlin. Wow.
Mike Greenberg said that they should rename the name of the award to the DeMar Hamlin Comeback Player of the Award. And Joe Flacco went. That is absurd.
Defensive Player of the Year went to Miles Garrett, I believe. We had Sauce
yeah,
for Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt
despite
should
the fact
have
that
won
T.J.
it.
T.J. Watt beat the hell out of him in every important statistical
yeah,
category.
So I'll take a half point on Damn that.
Led the
no,
Steelers
you will not.
Playoffs.
You will remove that half point.
Yeah, that is
Offensive Player of the Year, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Justin Field. No one had McCaffrey.
Justin
How did nobody Fields. Go McCaffrey? My God. Yeah.
We didn't
Justin
Fields. Defensive, often, no. Offensive
defensive.
Rookie. What do we
defensive
have here? I just
rookie
have
of the year.
Yes. Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, Jalen. Didn't it Will Anderson?
Will Anderson won, baby. That's a point for
yes,
me.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Joey's crushing here.
Offensive rookie was Jackson Smith, the Jigba, B-Rob, A. Richardson, who got hurt, but was, he was on his way. Who?
Oh, my God. Bijan Robinson.
C.J. Stroud.
Thing. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Stroud.
Obviously Stroud. And Super Bowl picks. Joey picked the Bengals, who didn't make the playoffs. LA Express by Mr. Pulp.
That's right.
I would officially, I just didn't want you to get away with being excited, but I think me showing you the bet preseason of me having picked the Chiefs awards
Sorry.
Me a check there.
I don't think so. You did not
Starlight
on this
Express.
Podcast.
Starlight Express.
We didn't make Super Bowl picks. We
yes,
did
we did.
This
right
after
here.
The fact. No, we did this halfway through the season. Remember? We talked about this. That's why I went with the LA Express, because it was that same week that we talked about the LA Express.
The
give Chris a win there, because that would be his only win.
Yeah,
give you
I got that
one.
Right. And I've got
but I got the only one that mattered, the Super Bowl pick. One
exactly.
out of 30.
Who picked the most correct, dude?
Yeah, but who picked the biggest one?
But doesn't matter. That's only one out of all the things that we
What picked. Are the odds of winning of that one? My odds were
really worse. They won three of the last five. What are the odds of picking that correctly?
Yes.
What are defensive rookie
give me
of
my
the year
give me my
pick.
Glory. I got it. I won this.
You got volume. I got quality. I got quality.
Bullshit.
Defensive
rookie of the year is a way tougher pick than Super Bowl.
No way.
Joey's got quality and quantity.
There was three people in the running.
Joey's got quality and quantity. Don't you worry.
I feel like you guys are ganging up on me because you guys are a little jelly.
No, I beat you in this.
I feel like you're just working really hard to try and share in Joey's clear-cut win here.
I won the Super Bowl.
I picked six right.
Oh, you did?
Four right.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, who won the Pulitzer Prize?
The Pulitzer Prize goes to good old Juice Boy McCoy.
Oh, we went again.
Yeah, so we went 0 for 6 on our anytime touchdown picks.
Yeah.
We suck at that. Cody, you were the only one with three correct. Joey and I both had two correct. Mm. And so, yeah, now football season is over.
What a year for the McCoys and the Kelseys. All right, boys, who's going to I guess I get the first pick since I...
The Genesis Invitational.
Is that how you spell Genesis? Jesus Christ.
My God, McCoy, you are really bad at spelling.
Wow. The geniusness?
There's an extra N at the end. Genie Usenens Invitational, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just
all right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll take Xander Schauffele. One of my favorite swings. Played very consistently last year.
All right. You know, this is going to be a little bit off the wall here, but I'm going to take Justin Thomas.
I'll go Scotty. I'll go with the obvious option.
Yeah, the ball's on you, right? We're just, really? You just call us out for...
I mean,
how
hard did you just work to try and claim, like, oh my God, it's the highest quality that I picked the Super Bowl. So I went with the highest odds team. Yeah.
And you had four picks and I had six and you lost.
Yeah, but mine was the pick. The reason we play this game.
It's bullshit.
The Wheel of Degeneracy on the wheel this week. We've got Scotty, we've got Rory, we've got Xander, we've got Victor Hovland.
Victor.
And we've got Joey Takes a Shot. Let's see what the wheel thinks. Only one pick. Please give us a Joey shot. Oh my God. It's a Joey shot. Hooray.
A 1 in 5 chance, 20% chance of that hitting.
You crushed it, buddy. Let's see if we can make it 2 in a row.
I'm gonna do a little dickle.
Ooh, a little pulski on the dickle.
Tickle my tickle nickel dickle. With some
little
dickle.
Polsky on the dickle never hurt anybody.
Bottoms up.
Joey is master of his domain.
That was way too much.
All right, let's give her another spin here, boys. Please go with another shot. That would be amazing. Oh my God.
Ooh, it is close.
Wheel of DJing like Scotty with me. Okay.
The wheel's a bitch too.
All right, so we've got two picks for Scotty, Xander and JT. Let's go, boys.
I have no weight in the show. You guys await in the show?
Dead air.
This is us ending the show.
Well, friends, as this episode comes to an end,
so too are the days of our lives.
With a McCoy victory, I will ensure you the rest of this year, I will make it my point to make him as unhappy and uncomfortable as possible.
Why can't people support me in my happiness and my joy? Why does it have to be against me?
Because we don't like it.
Why? Yeah. You don't like greatness?
I guess you don't like
greatness around here.
No, I do like greatness, but you're halfway there. So you'll be there soon.
You're almost halfway there.
Yeah, almost. Not even.
How about Horseface having to give the Chiefs the Super Bowl trophy in Las Vegas and Allegiant Stadium?
Put some respect on John Elway's name.
I will put no respect. He had to. And that
what? Don't you care about our happiness? Don't you care about our happiness?
You don't care about mine. I don't care about yours.
Oh my God.
That's the show. Yeah, love, love,
shoes
love.
On the other foot. Go fuck yourself, McCoy.